And welcome to My Career in Data, a podcast where we discuss with industry leaders and experts how they have built their careers. I'm your host, Shannon Kemp, and today we're talking to Michelle Hebert.
With a robust catalog of courses offered on demand and industry-leading live online sessions throughout the year, the Dataversity Training Center is your launchpad for career success. Browse the complete catalog at training.dataversity.net and use code DVTALKS for 20% off your purchase.
Hello and welcome. My name is Shannon Kemp and I'm the Chief Digital Officer at Dataversity, and this is My Career in Data, a Dataversity Talks podcast dedicated to learning from those who have careers in data management, to understand how they got there, and to talk with people who help make those careers a little bit easier. To keep up to date in the latest in data management education, go to dataversity.net/subscribe. Today, we are joined by Michelle Hebert, a consultant at Pixlog and VP of Professional Development at Dayma International. And normally, this is where a podcast host would read a short bio of the guest, but in this podcast, your bio is what we're here to talk about. Michelle, hello and welcome.
Hi, hello, Shannon. How are you doing?
Good, how are you?
Very good. Thank you.
So welcome. So you're a consultant at Pixlog Incorporated and the VP of Professional Development at Dayma International. Mm-hmm. So let's start with Pixlog. Tell me about what type of business is Pixlog and what do you do as a consultant there?
Well, it's basically my own company for myself, working as an independent consultant. It's a company that has been active, well, exists since 1991, but really active since 2017. I'm basically just doing contract for my clients. Most of them are dealing with data quality or data modeling, data conversion from one legacy system to the new system. And I'm also doing some coaching on data governance implementation for some of my clients.
Very, very nice. So you're also the VP of Professional Development at Dayma International. So tell me about Dayma International.
Well, Dayma International is a large organization that, I don't know, many thousand people join either directly or through chapters throughout the world. We have more than 60 chapters. And the goal of Dayma International is really to promote the good practice in data management. We publish the DMBOK, the Data Management Body of Knowledge, which is like this big book here that I have always beside me. I don't know if you're going to see it. Yay! So the big book here, and we also have a certification, the CDMP, Certified Data Management Professional, where you can go through exams, plural, if you want to get to a higher level. And it really helps you to promote your skills and experience on data management. And as a VP Professional Development, my specific role right now is to work on the next evolution of the DMBOK, the Data Management Body of Knowledge, which is a large endeavor, and to synchronize the CDMP, the exams, and the process according to how we evolve the body of knowledge.
Oh, I love that. So what version of the DMBOK are we on now?
The current version is version 2 revised. So it's basically the version 2 was published in 2017, and we made a revision last April 2024, which is most are like correction of English or sentence that were not clear, but there are a few chapters or a few sections that were a bit more updated.
Yeah, I love it. I will, you know, most of the community won't be able to see, but because it's mostly audio, but you can see I've got mine here as well with my tabs.
Yay. So you're studying to do your CDMP if you have tabs like that, right?
Someday. But we just had one of our staff, Mark Horseman, go through and get his master's in CDMP. So he is at a master level, which is very exciting. So we highly recommend, and we offer the training for it as well, because we believe it in it as Dataversity. So highly recommend that. Because that certification certainly helps to boost careers, right?
Yes.
Which is what Dataversity is all about.
Yes.
So tell me, Michelle, let's back up. So this is what you're doing now. But Is this what you wanted to be when you grew up? So say you were 6 years old, did you think, oh, I'm going to grow up and I'm going to be a data
Well,
management
when I was 6 years old, there were no computers.
consultant?
Our computers were just like for NASA or things like that. So when I was a teenager, I learned to fly a single engine airplane. And I wanted to do a career in aeronautics somehow. So the first training I got out of general school and high school and everything was to become an aircraft maintenance engineer to repair aircraft. But I graduated in 82 in the middle of a recession. So all the large companies were just laying off people because people were not flying anymore. So I got a few jobs left, right, and center, but nothing really that I wanted to do as an aircraft maintenance. And I decided, okay, I'm tired of that. I will switch. And I look around. I did some classes in school before, just introduction to programming, and I kind of like it. Said, I'll go toward computer. And I registered for a certificate, 30 degree undergraduate program at University of Montreal on computer science. And it was night courses, so I could have a job during the day. And through some contacts, I started to have a client, and I started programming for that small system. And it was the beginning of the PC, right? So big companies has mainframe or mini computer, and didn't even know what to do with PC, but I was just learning on personal computer. So I started programming on that some business application. And this is where I switched to, okay, let's do that as a full-time job. I took another program, a certificate, and as a business school, because I told myself that if I wanted to be efficient in developing application for the business, might as well learn the language of the business, right? So I took some classes on accounting, operation, human resources, finance, and so on, marketing. So I learned the language of the business. Having a business of my own is also useful, but I really learned the language of the business. So when I went to see my users to gather the requirements, I understand what they were talking about, had a better understanding of it. I mean, accounting told me about the credit and debit columns. I knew what it was. So I think it was a good move for me to do that.
Oh, that is fascinating and so smart to do that and understand both sides of the business. I think that's where some of the biggest gap is in data. And I mean, that's the constant battle that we've heard, for since tech's been around, right? The battle between IT and business and how they can't communicate, right? But if you're taking classes to understand both sides, that communication, it helps bridge that gap. Oh, very, very smart. Well, so okay, so you're in programming, you're majoring in programming, you're taking some business classes. So what was that first job then?
The
You mentioned
first
coding.
full-time job I got as in IT was an analyst, a developer for a software company in Montreal. Actually, it was not a software company. It was an engineering company that developed program for preventive maintenance in institution and industries. And they wanted to have the software to sell to the client as a platform for their own services, engineering services. So I was part of the team who developed that. It was in Clipper. I don't know if you remember Clipper. So something, let's say it was in the 80s, late 80s, the early 90s. So Clipper was the language to develop business application on a PC back then. And our company not only developed package for our client, we also developed a Clipper application generator. So what you see is what you get. So we could draw our data screen, and it will generate the code and the DBase files and everything in the back. So I was part of that team to develop this as well. And it gave me a good understanding of the importance of good data modeling. It was not as rigorous as it is today, but still, I mean, we really have to understand how the data is structured to meet the business requirements and then create the application for that. So I
Oh,
was there for
fascinating.
a few years. And then actually went back to school to finish my major in computer science. So I could have actually a back, so a graduate student. And then got hired through different consulting company, Anderson Consulting, way back then. LGS, a large consulting company based in Montreal for Canadian clients, and then eventually worked for Mediagriff, which was a company that developed B2B application. I was the director for the internal systems there, so I was managing the systems for the company itself. I was not part of the development of the product, but we're managing the system to manage our company. And then went back to LGS IBM as a BIM manager because LGS was purchased by IBM Services, Global Services by then. A couple of years there, and then work at Yellow Pages again to work on development and data migration and data conversion and a master data project. So a master data implementation. So this is where I learned a lot of skills on data integration and more complex data modeling, let's put it that way. But then in 2017, they decided to outsource my position along with other people. And I decided, well, if I'm going to be outsourced to a consulting company, I might as well form my own company. And I restarted to be active too. I started again to be active in my own company and never stopped, never looked back. It was the best thing that ever happened to me to be outsourced and physically laid off in indirectly. So yeah. Oh,
Oh, that's
and something else I did that has a big impact on where I am right now is in 2013 to 2016, I decided to go back to school to actually do a master degree in computer in software engineering. And I did that at the same time I was working. And it is during that study of doing my SF on during for that master the sorry, for my master that I selected as a topic reference data. So I had to
Wow.
search for article and book and references and things like that.
Yeah.
And this is when I found the first version of Dama DMBOK because I didn't know that before.
Yeah.
I read through the DMBOK, said, okay, I want to do this. I want to get certified. But it was in the between version one and version two. So at that time, Dama International just stopped doing the certification because they want to revamp all the exams and everything. And I was on the mailing list to be informed when it was going to be available. And when they informed that it was going to be at EDW in 2019 in Boston, I registered for the event. That was my first conference, EDW conference in 2019 in Boston. And I did my three exams during that week and got my certification. So that was
Wow.
a turning point in my career. It's both my master's degree and getting my CDMP because it really it boosts my confidence in my own skills and my own expertise. And the other thing that I found out at EDW was the community of people in data management is extraordinary. It's
Right.
so friendly. You could talk to anyone and everyone over there. Nobody will look down to you because you're a newbie. This is the first time you mentioned Mark Orsman. This is where I met Mark for the first time, and we spent the hours together chatting on different things, as well as Chris Bradley and a lot of other people that I met during that conference, and that then became friend kind of. So that was
Oh, that's
a turning point
amazing.
in my career. Said, okay, now I know where I want to go. I want to be part of that community. I want to be part of that organization of that might.
More and more companies are considering investing in data literacy education, but still have questions about its value, purpose, and how to get the ball rolling. Introducing the newest monthly webinar series from Dataversity, Elevating Enterprise Data Literacy, where we discuss the landscape of data literacy and answer your burning questions. Learn more about this new series and register for free at dataversity.net.
I love that. And so that would mean, I mean, that was further down in your career too, that you decided to go get your master's and get certified. And it's really, really impressive. And I love, you know, the stories that I hear from people in data, not just about the community, but just there's this constant passion for continuing to want to learn and being open to learning and exploring new things and possibilities. And I think it's just kind of the nature of tech, right? Because, or, you know, in data, which isn't always dealing with tech. It's there's just always constant evolvement, and you have to keep up. You have to be curious, and this I love it. And I didn't know that that's how you got involved with DEMA and in data. And I'm low, and it's an honor that you came to Enterprise Data World EDW to meet the community. I do. I tell people all the time. It's one of the great honors of working for Dataversity. It's working, being able to work and serve the community because they are just amazing, constant inspiration of what it means to be a community and uplifting and kind and just passionate about what it is everybody does. It's awesome. So very, very cool. So tell me then, what's been your biggest lesson so far in your career?
Oh, that's a good question. What's my biggest lessons? Well, nothing is easy, but many things are doable. I've been on well, from a data perspective, if we take like the last few years where I've been involved in different projects, one of the challenge we have as a, for example, data modeler or data quality is to especially when you have a new project and there's a like a good team of very good people, but young developers, and they all learn the techniques about programming, and they care about the algorithm and the business and the layer and the architecture of the application and everything. But then you come along and said, yeah, but what about the data? Well, we'll figure it out sometimes. No. We have to start with the data. The application, the software is there to manage the data. Let's start with the data. Let's start to understand what the data means. And I don't mean by that you have to create a full data model, all details before you actually start working, but you have to get a broad understanding of what are the entities, what are you going to deal with. And that, to be able to pass those messages, requires a lot of soft skills. I mean, it's not just learning how to do the data modeling, how to use those tools and things like that. It's how to communicate to the people what you mean and why it's important, and how to motivate the people to follow you on that path. And that requires soft skills. And luckily, I'm also a teacher, so I know how to. I've been teaching for many years different topics, so those skills are transferable in that part of my mandate when I have to explain to people why it's important and so on.
So tell me a little bit about the teaching. How did you get into that, and where did you get into that in your career?
Well, when I was a teenager, I told you I learned to fly a single engine because I was in the Canadian Air Cadets. And part of the Canadian Air Cadet training is also to teach you how to train, how to become an instructor. It's the senior cadets that give the classes for to the junior cadets, to youngers. And then for 4 years, when I was still in schools, my summer job was working on the a summer camp for air cadets, where I was actually the last 2 years the commanding officer of a school for teaching other kids how to fly, the training, the ground school, the theoretical training. So this is where I started to teach. And during my career, I always had like side jobs of teaching either at schools or in a professional training organization, or through my clients when it was time to give a training on the new system or new software. I was the one being picked because I like that, and the other programmers didn't like that. So I can do it. It's not a problem. So I always, I mean, if I look at throughout the like 4 years out of careers, I don't think there's been a year where I was not teaching something at some place. And now, after I did my master's degree, because I was pretty good because of my experience, the department hired me as a lecturer, so I continue to give classes there on data governance and data quality, and among other things.
There's so many things that you've dipped your toe into. You're doing so many things. That's amazing, to give back and to continue to hone your skills. And I love that your story is one of passion, that your passion of flying taught let you the experience of teaching, which you keep continue to use in your career. So important. And Are you still flying?
No.
No.
I stopped very long time ago. It was fun while I was like just living at my parents and I had a job and no more expenses. But when I started to date my wife and we decided to get married and buy a house and everything, I had to set my priorities straight. And renting a single engine plane was even back then pretty expensive. So I always told myself that I might go back when I retired, but I don't know when that will happen. So we'll see.
You should get John to take you up, John Ladley, in
Yeah,
his
no,
flight.
I chat with John last time about his flying and everything. So, yeah, I'll try.
So tell me, having worked with data for so long, especially throughout almost all of your career, what is your definition of data?
My definition of data evolved over time. I mean, when I was younger, it was really what I put in a database. Now my definition of data is way broader than that. It's basically what you need to make a decision. All the decision people make on any topic whatsoever in our brain, it's based on information. Could be structure, unstructured. It could be feelings or emotion. It's kind of an information as well. But I mean, the broader definition of data is really what we need to make a decision. And without going into the details of all the politics going around the world, there's a lot of decisions that are being made by many people with information that is dubious at best, right? So how can we improve all the information that people have to make good decisions? And I see that as my ultimate goal in data management is to improve the information people have to make their decision. Which
Oh, I
brilliant
love that.
decision.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I love that. We should all adopt that. The world would be a little bit better,
Yeah,
I think.
well, now obviously for when you go back to what happened in a company, in any corporation, when you work on data governance implementation or data management or master data, then the data is the information that is that company is being required to actually put into their process. But any process, again, is to make decision on what to deliver, when to deliver, or which markets we should address and which market we should get out of because it's not lucrative and so on. So all the data is always a fuel to make a decision.
Very, very, very true. So then do you see the, especially with that vision, do you see the importance of data management and the number of jobs working with data increasing or decreasing over the next 10 years and why?
Well, number of jobs. Well, first of all, because everybody in a company actually at some point in time make a decision, they're all using data. The challenge is not necessarily to increase the number of people or jobs that are related to data, but to increase the understanding of everybody on what the data is and how it should be used, and to have a critical view of the data they have before taking a decision and ask themselves, is it good data? Is it the data I need? Is it, do I miss something? Right? Now, obviously, there's always a gray area where you still have to make a decision without all the information available. You cannot stop, but at least try to go into the, I mean, a critical analysis of the data you have, you think you have, and ask yourself, is it the correct information for me to make a decision?
So it's
It's
going to
not
become,
necessarily, sorry, Shannon. So it's not necessarily increasing the number of jobs that people will use data or that are data related. It's really increasing the understanding of all people working with data on what data is and how it should be useful or used.
It makes a lot of sense. And everybody now works with data on some level. So everybody needs some kind of education in data management in data usage and what it is and how to communicate to their data architects for what they need. So then what advice would you give people looking to get into a career in data management specifically? So whether they're, a data architect or data modeler or data scientist, what advice do you have for people getting into
Well,
data?
if you're coming from the IT side, take time to learn the language of the business people, right? Because you will have to communicate and understand them. You have to communicate your motivation and your priorities in such a way that it's understandable by the business people, and they see why it's important to you to do that. As a something else I'm doing on my free time, I translate books, right? So I
Yes.
translate a few books from English to French. So Bob Siner's books, as well as Scott Tyler, and Telling Your Data Story. And Scott always said in his book, and I totally support his vision, do not go to executive and say, we need to improve data quality. Doesn't mean anything to them. Find a
Right.
way in a business language, in a business vocabulary, to say what will be the consequences of that. So we will improve revenue, we will decrease the client complaints. What are we going to do from a business point of view? And to be able to really do that, you need to understand how the business works. So get your nose out of IT or your computer screens and
Yeah.
understand the business, especially business in general and the specific business you're working on. If you're coming from the business side, then you have to learn a little bit about the constraint of the development and database management, not to become a database administrator, but to understand the consequences of what you're asking. Because I've seen users ask something that from their point of view is very simple, but it's not that simple to implement in real life.
Yeah, I agree. So do you have any advice on like how the best way to go about it? I mean, for me, I know it was just I got a long way. It went a long way for just to ask questions, to not pretend like I knew, just to ask a lot of questions. Is that the place to start? Because, somebody to understand the business might be sound really intimidating, but it can be pretty simple, don't you think?
Oh, it
To
can be simple. I mean, it doesn't have to be complex. You will not be managing the company, but you just need to understand the vocabulary of the company. And by
yeah.
all means, don't forget to come to conferences or be involved in your community. If you have a Dhamma chapter, I'll do a little publicity here. If you have a Dhamma chapter in your locality, join, participate in those activities, and meet other people that are doing the same job of you in other companies, and just share your experiences and things like that. And obviously, if you want to get CDMP certified, that's great.
Absolutely, indeed. Oh, Michelle, this has been fabulous. It's been so great to talk to you about your journey. I would be remiss though if I didn't ask if somebody wanted to solicit your services, how would they find you?
Oh, the easiest thing is through LinkedIn.
Okay.
So, yep, you can find me on LinkedIn. That's the easiest way.
Perfect. And how do the people learn more about DAMA International and the chapters and the
Well, there's a
certification?
we have our website, dhamma.org, dhamma.org, and there's a ch list of chapters that are active or forming with their website. So you will see, as I said, about 65-ish right now, as of today, chapters. And then just send an email and request for information to Dama, and we'll be happy to answer your question.
Oh, I love it. Well, thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure.
It was a thank you for asking me to be here.
Well, for all of our listeners out there, if you'd like to keep up on the latest in podcasts and in the latest in data management education, you can go to dataversity.net/subscribe. Until next time, stay curious, everyone. Thank you for listening to Dataversity Talks, a podcast brought to you by Dataversity. Subscribe to our newsletter for podcast updates and information about our free educational webinars at dataversity.net/subscribe.